tonight, and we do worship Your holy name. For it is the name above all names. It is the name above every problem that is in this building tonight. It is the name above every sickness, every habit, every addiction, every bit of loneliness. That name is above. And Father, we worship You and praise You tonight in this house. You can be seated this evening. About 15, 16 years ago, I was at a church out of my home church in Angleton, Texas. And several churches came together, and we had John Jacobs come in at that time. And he came in a whirlwind, in other words. Matter of fact, my son who's there was baptized by him 15 years ago. Most of the football team that was attended the Baptist church at that time, we had gotten together with them. Most of that football team got saved at that time and made a difference in the high school. He has conducted over 3,000 crusades in 40 different countries. He has done over 30,000 public school deals. You know, as a youth pastor, and I only did about 10 of them, so you're way ahead of me on that one. He's been on television for that ran for 15 years. Anyone know who Chuck Norris is? This guy gets saved in his ministry. So, and they do a whole thing about him on a television show that he did, something like Texas Rangers or something like that. But pretty big deal. But you know, we can do all the accolades to a guy like this, and deservedly so. However, his passion is one thing: for people to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? That is that one thing that we talked about this morning. It is the one thing that why we were created. Because see, we live in a broken world. And when we fail, God could not leave us that way. And He sent His Son to come and make us whole again. So as we just present John this evening, I do welcome him as he comes. And let's listen to what God has done in his life and what He wants to do in our life. Amen.
Thank God for Oklahoma. Hey, I think if you live in Oklahoma, you're just bad to the bone. Amen? Hey, I lived in Texas for most of my life, but now I live in Oklahoma. I live right outside Oklahoma City because my son plays quarterback and is one of the top private coaches in America is there. Now I'm just happy to be living in Oklahoma. So I want to tell you, hey, guess what? We go in a lot of places and do school assemblies. And the first thing the principals say is, shh, don't mention the church you're going to be at tonight. But when we go to Oklahoma, the principal helps us put flyers in the lockers. The principals help us get the young people back to the church. We were just in Woodward, Oklahoma, and the superintendent of schools bussed all the students together in the whole county. And we gave our talk on inspiration and you can overcome your scars. This world needs you. You know what he told me? He said the rage that used to be in 18-year-olds is now in 8-year-olds. But did you know they let us bring all the kids back and their families that night to the auditorium? That night were 500 of those young people accepted the Lord. It shook that whole county. How many of you think it's a great thing to live in a state where the principals and superintendents are pulling for God? Amen? So tonight, I just want to tell you that what a pretty city in Owosso. And I brought some of my team members, the 6 members of our team. We have another world strong man and an ex-pro baseball player. But I brought 3 of them tonight. So fasten your seatbelts. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Ladies and gentlemen, standing 6'6", weighing 300 pounds, he played 7 years in the NFL for the Carolina Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts. In one game, he picked up a fumble for a touchdown, intercepted a pass, and sacked the quarterback. Ladies and gentlemen, from West Monroe, Louisiana, Sean King. Come on, Sean. Everybody say power. Now, hey, bigger than Sean is his younger brother. His younger brother was an All-American in college football. Went on to play 2 years for the Chicago Bears. And ladies and gentlemen, this man stands 6'7", weighing 360 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to see big? This man is big. From West Monroe, Louisiana, Sean's brother, Jerome King. Hold the music. Should I go ahead and tell them? People wonder, out of all seven of us, who can eat the most? That's the question. Of all the questions they ask me, I get asked that one. This next man has drank 9 gallons of milk in 1 week. I'm not joking. This next man, hey, he was visiting me at my house last week. This is not an exaggeration. He does not eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He buys a loaf of bread, an entire bottle of peanut butter, an entire bottle of jelly, and he eats the whole thing with a gallon of milk at least. But now that's just having fun. But no, it is true, though. No joke. I'm not joking. But I want to tell you, he's the newest member of our team. And ladies and gentlemen, he's the strongest man right now in the world today. He bench presses. He does, for repetitions, over 1,000 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see that on YouTube, him benching over 1,080 pounds. He presses the new world record, a 500 pound over his head. Ladies and gentlemen, he squats 1,200 pounds. He deadlifts over 1,000 pounds. He's only 30 years old. And guess where he's from? The great state of Oklahoma. Now listen to this. Standing 6'7", weighing 440 pounds, ladies and gentlemen, the strongest man in the world, Aaron Brown. Brown, Brown, Brown. Come on, Aaron. Woo! Are you feeling strong tonight? Are you hungry? He's coming to your house to eat after the service, isn't that better? Yeah, I'm kidding. Hey, we're going to do some feats of strength. How many know it's okay for Christians to have fun? Amen? And we have two baseball bats here. And the big guy, I've told him all you can eat at Chili's if he does this. They said nobody can snap two bats at once. This man uses all his strength, and he snaps two baseball bats just with his arms. Then he bends 1.5 inches of steel over his head. 1.5 inches of steel. Then we have on the stage a 150-pound dumbbell. Now, he grabs it with one hand, and he presses it over his head for reps with one hand. And he has done 225 pounds. Now, you've heard of it, Pastor? I know. You remember the years of me ripping phone books? I've gotten even better. I can rip a big phone book 3 times, but I bet you've never heard of this. Jerome can rip a phone book, not with his hands, but he bites through it and rips it with his teeth. Hey, you don't believe it? Come here. He has the sharpest teeth. Show him. And then he takes a license plate, and he chews through a license plate. You're going to take 2 frying pans, and this man that has 2,000 pounds of grip, he rolls them up like a burrito with his grip. Then he takes a carriage bolt that holds railroad ties together. He not only bends it, he snaps it. Ladies, children, and gentlemen, look at this hammer. We have a hammer from Lowe's that said they guarantee it cannot break. They guarantee it cannot bend. But ladies and gentlemen, Sean, come here for a second. This man has 2,000 pounds of grip power in his grip. And you're going to use your forearms and grip and try to snap this hammer in two. Now, it took us 4 weeks to snap one of these. So, and then, Sean's going to do the axes. Sean holds out two huge axes and just with his wrist lowers those 10-pound axes to his eyeballs and then raises them out. The first time he did this, he did it 5 times. Tonight, he's going to do it 31 times for a new record. And then you're going to blow up a hot water bottle until it explodes. And you're going to snap the handcuffs at the end. And you're going to crush the can over the pastor's head. Hey, listen to this. No, hey. Jerome, come here. Hey, look at the size of Jerome's hands compared to mine. This man can take his grip and he squeezes a suffering can unopened until it explodes. Then he starts smashing him over his head. He's knocked himself out, knocked himself silly. But tonight, he's going to smash one over the pastor's head. Now, I know some of you say, is it really that hard? So I want you to show them how much power and force. If you crush one over your head, watch what happens. And just remember, coming up in a little bit, he's going to do the same thing over the pastor's head. Watch this. Go ahead. Right here. Oh. Woo! Now, how many of you want to see him do that over the pastor's head? Come on.
Hot water bottle.
Jerome, are you ready? Everybody say, come on, Jerome. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerome blowing up an Oklahoma hot water bottle. Come on, help him out. Everybody help him. Come on. Come on, he needs your help. He needs your help. Use it. Come on, everybody, help him. Come on, everybody, help him, help him. Come on, he needs your help. Come on, help him, help him. Somebody scream. Help him, help him, help him. Come on, somebody, everybody, help him.
All went wrong at one time. So much pressure fell on me. I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Now, hey, Jerome is going to snap a baseball bat over his head. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Help him. You know, this carriage boat, you're going to bend it and snap it. Come on, help him out. Help him. Help him. Woo! Now, 2 baseball bats at once. He's going to try to snap them. Everybody say, come on, Aaron. Help him. Help him. Okay. The pan. Sean is going to roll up 2 frying pans at once. Come on, Sean. Help him out. Help him, come on. Look at that, 2 steel frying pans. Now, everybody say you can chew it. You can chew it. Come on. Now, with his teeth. Come on. Chew it. Chew it. Bite. Chew. 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 Help him. Help him. Now, can Aaron Brown bend an inch and a half of steel? This is a lot of steel. Everybody say, come on, you can do it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The human giant! Oh, wow. Now, oh, hey, everybody. Hold on. Hold on. I have in my hand a hammer, and this man is going to try to snap his hammer. How about after you snap the hammer, if you share your story? You see this man right here? He played 7 years in the NFL. He had all the money, the fame, the prestige, the entourage. But you know something? He didn't have the Lord. And his two-year-old son got a cold, it turned into pneumonia, and it turned he had a heart attack and was put on a life support system. So how many of you think money is not enough, fame is not enough, prestige is not enough? How many of you realize no matter who you are, you need a relationship with the Lord? And you know something? I want Sean, after Sean snaps this hammer, he's going to share his story of how his mother believed in miracles. And she every day called miracles into their family. And I want you to share that story, would you? How many want to hear his story? Okay. All right, everybody. Let's help him out. Here we go. Come on, Sean. Okay. Everybody say, come on, Sean. Come on, help him. Help him. Come on, help him! Come on! Everybody say, use your blood!
Blessing to be in the house of the Lord tonight, amen. All right, man. Hey, how you doing, brother? Woo, a little tired right now, but I'm all right. Man, feels good to be in Oklahoma. I'm from a small town, not too far from here, about 7 hour drive, Louisiana. A small town called West Monroe. It was a town, wasn't a football town, but as a little kid, I wanted to play football. I wanted to buy my mom a big house. I wanted to make it to the NFL. That's all that mattered to me. But where I was from, no one ever got drafted into the NFL. No one ever got drafted into the NBA. They used to laugh at me for having such a dream. The town I was from, it wasn't even a football town. I went to high school 3 years, never won over 4 games. I remember growing up, I'm 40 years old. I still tote this around. They said, man, you're too sick to have a dream like that. There's no way you can play football and make it to the NFL. I see a lot of kids in here. I want to tell you, people don't hold your future. God holds your future. I remember growing up in a family of four. My mother, my father, my brother, and I. Man, my brother, he looked up to me. I never wanted to let him down. He's one of my biggest supporters. My mother, man, she was a devout Christian. She claimed the whole family for heaven each and every day. Most people think my mother's big dream would have been to buy a big, nice, fancy house or have a nice, fancy car. But her number one dream was to see the three men that she loved the most come to know our Lord and Savior, which is me, my brother, and my father. My father, on the other hand, man, this guy was a raging alcoholic. He was a terrorist in our home. Me and my brother, man, we were laying in the back room. We hear pictures being knocked off the wall. We hear dishes being broken. I would hear my mother screaming for her life in the next room as I can lay back there and do nothing about it. Because my father, he was this big guy. He was to be feared. I'm not trying to make my father out to be the worst man that ever lived. But just like we pass down your long, beautiful hair, your eye color, your smarts, you pass down your iniquities also. We pass down our iniquities. And as parents, we have to break that generational curse. We can't let our children do it. Man, these kids, they turn on TV every day. They see the devil busy at work. They walk outside every day. They see what the devil is doing. It's time for us Christians to stand up. Everyone else is coming out the closet. Why not Christians? I remember getting a scholarship to LSU. I remember going to church my senior year. My cap and gown was supposed to be a joyous occasion. The pastor that day, he was preaching on heaven and hell. And I remember he looked right at me that day as I sat on the front row. He said, young man with earrings in your ear, you're living on the wrong side. You're living on the wrong side. You need to come up with us holy people and start living right. And at 17 years old, I looked around at my parents, and they shrugged their shoulders like I just deserved it. And growing up in a tough neighborhood where I had to fight like twice a week, growing up in my tough household, my father treated us wrong. At 17 years old, when I heard that pastor say that, this is what I heard come out of his mouth. You're not good enough for God either. So at 17 years old, I made a decision that I wasn't going to church again. I didn't go to church again for about 10 or 11 years. I was slowly becoming an atheist. I would fight at the drop of a dime. My anger fueled a lot of my decisions when I went to LSU. To make a long story short, I got drafted into the NFL. I got drafted into the NFL, 4th pick of the 2nd round. Signed for almost $1 million. I had what this world said would make me happy. But I still had this anger on the inside. And you know, money just makes everything bigger. It made the gap between me and Jesus bigger. It made my anger bigger. So I remember having all this money and was able to do great things for my family. And, you know, I lived my life how I wanted to live it for about 6 or 7 years. And I remember telling my entourage, this life is not real. I want something real. I always wanted to have a family and be blessed with a little boy. So I remember the girl I was engaged to, we got married and we were blessed with a little boy. He was a preemie. He came 2 months early, but when we got him home, man, he started opening his eyes, looking for me to feed him and take care of him every day. And I never knew love like that before, so I accepted it wholeheartedly. I said, man, I'm going to be behind this little guy every step of the way. I'm going to teach him how to be the best man I know how, because I know a little bit of love goes a very long way. Right before his 2nd birthday, he got sick with a cold. And I'm laying back there in the bed with him about 3 p.m. because I know what a cold does to asthmatic people. He crawled up on my shoulder like this cold was just wearing him down. I took him to the hospital, and we were sitting there waiting on the doctors. It seemed like he was getting better as we were waiting on the doctors. They were going to take him back there and run all kind of tests on him. So me and my brother, we lived about 4 minutes from the hospital. We go home to pack a bag because they said they need to keep him over the night. We get home, and we get a phone call while we're at home packing a bag. It said, Mr. King, can you hurry back to the hospital? Your son just went into cardiac arrest. And I go back to this hospital, and I get to this room, and it's a frantic situation. They're running around. They're rubbing these paddles together to shock my little boy's lifeless body off of this table. They're manually pumping air into his lungs to try to get him to breathe again. And I can't believe what I'm looking at as I'm standing in that door. I said, the one thing that was making me change my life make better decisions for myself, it could be taken away in an instant. Just like that. So they hooked my son up to a respirator machine for 6 days. The prayer team would come by and pray for my little boy and tell me about Jesus. The pastor would come by and tell me about Jesus. But after 6 days, the doctor brought me a stack of papers and said, Mr. King, there's nothing else we can do for your little boy. At best, we're going to have to helivacuum this children's hospital in Little Rock. It was about a four-hour drive from where I live. I had to sign these papers. I had to walk my son to the roof of this hospital to put him on this helicopter. I couldn't even get on the helicopter with him. I remember this helicopter leaving, and I had to go home and pack this bag and try to meet this helicopter at this house as fast as I could because I knew my little boy would be there alone. I remember going home, getting in this closet and throwing anything I could in this suitcase so I could hurry up and leave. And I remember being on my knees in this closet. I remember breaking down crying in that closet. I remember breaking down crying because I got so angry. I remember what this world told me. They said, man, if you just get your hands on some money, you can live in a place where there's no more pain. There's nothing but peace and happiness. I had all this money in that closet. This money couldn't save my son. He said, man, if you just go buy yourself a lot of nice things, man. I had all these nice things in that closet. I would have given it all away that night. I would have traded it all away just to see my son live. So I knew it had to be something bigger than money in that closet. I knew it had to be something bigger than me in that closet because I had lost my will to live. And I never thought about hurting myself, but I did not want to take another step. I felt like I had failed as a father. But that mother that prayed over us and told me about this man named Jesus, I remember her telling me that he would not put anything on you, no more than you can bear. And I remember thinking to myself, calling out to a man I did not know. I remember saying, Jesus, I know you're real, but please, be real in my life. Take this pain out of my chest. I'm tired of being this big, strong football player who can never cry. I'm tired of being this big guy who has to help everyone else fight their battles. I just want to be a father to my son. So I give you my heart tonight, but please, give that little boy a chance. He's been through so much already. Just give him a chance. I want to tell you how good God is. I drove to this hospital, not knowing if I was going to pick up a body, not knowing if this ride was in vain, not knowing what to expect. But I get to this hospital, and these people basically meet me at the door and say, Mr. King, we think we found a problem. That was better news than the 1995 draft call that I got from the Carolina Panthers. That's the best news I ever heard in my life. They said it's going to be about 4 months. He's going to have to learn how to walk and talk again, all over at 2 years old. But we think we can get him out of here. Lo and behold, after 4 months, my son walked out of that hospital. He's going to middle school, his first year of middle school this year. He doesn't think there's a mountain he can't climb because we breathe life into him. And his parents, we have to breathe life into these kids. Today's kids are tomorrow's future. They're very important to us. And my son, he's been to a couple of meetings, and one night he asked me, he said, Daddy, did I almost die or something? And I remember thinking, man, you have no idea how precious your life is to me. I can only imagine how precious our life is to our Father. I can only imagine. That mother that prayed and kept that family together and endured so much pain to see her two boys stay in the house with their biological father. Man, my mother passed about 4 years ago. You know, we got that phone call that you think everybody else get. We never had a family without this lady. But because of her prayers, because of her standing on the word of God, me, my brother, and my father, we have a relationship that I never even dreamed of having. Because my father, he got saved about 10 years ago. He hadn't had a drink since. You know, we walk into the church and this guy's singing solos in the choir. He's leading the church in prayer. He teaches a Bible study class. My father is the church custodian. And I just want to tell my mother, thank you, good and faithful servant. Thank you. God bless you, God.
Good job. Good job.
Aaron?
Let's hold off in there.
Are you going to do the axes now? Yes, do the axes. Are you ready for 31 times? Everybody say 31 times. Uh-oh. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, help him, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Help him, 19, 20, help him, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, help him, 29, 30, 31 times, woo!
Good job, man.
Aaron, you ready to lift this 150-pound dumbbell? Hey, but before you do, come say a few words. I want everybody here. Aaron is a brand—he's a new member of our team. How many of you think young people might listen to him when he bench presses over 1,000 pounds for repetitions? That means he works out with over 1,000 pounds on the bench press. But you know what? You know what he says? If the strongest man in the world can't live one day without Jesus, neither can you. Come on. And how many know he may squat 1,200 pounds, and how many know he couldn't lift the weight of sin and separation from God off his back? How many know nobody can? And I want you to share just real brief about what happened to you and what brought you to here.
How y'all doing? Well, like you said, Oklahoma native. Went to Jinx High School, graduated class of 2001. Went to Oklahoma State University, September 11, 2000. Oh my goodness, 2001. What are we doing? All of a sudden, the world came to a stop. September 11th. That was an eye-opener for everybody. I gave up my scholarship, joined the military, served in the U.S. Navy as a corpsman, U.S. Marine Corps combat medic. For all those veterans and service people out here, thank you. I was a little kid, believe it or not, at one point in time. I was in fourth grade when this man right here walked into my elementary school. And they said, power team. I was like, oh, what is it? And they said, it's a bunch of big guys picking up stuff. Oh, yeah. They're going to tear telephone books. Sweet. They're going to pick up heavy weights. I like that. And he preached a word of hope for the kids out there. Especially the ones going out there getting bullied. I was a small kid in a big kid's body. I would never raise a hand in anger. I'd have kids beat up on me daily. But the first time I defend myself, I'd get in trouble. And I just felt I was there was no end to it. This man came in and said, why? What is the point? Y'all were friends. Fat, thin, smart, stupid, pretty, who cares? At the end of that meeting, he invited us all back to a show later that night. Before that meeting, I had four of the people that were picking on me for 2 years come up and apologize to me. Never got picked on ever again. That was a change in that student body. I went to my mom later that night and said, Mom, the power team. Gotta go see these guys. They're awesome. My mom goes, no. My mom had been in church in years. She goes, no, absolutely not. I'm not taking you. And like a child, I'm not going to stop until I get what I want. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Finally, she said, yes, okay. Just be quiet.
Okay.
So we went to the church. And she said, we're sitting in the back row. I said, all right, whatever. We're going. Sorry, ma'am, there's no seats on the back row. Well, where are their seats at? The front row. And I was like, sweet. Get to see these guys up front and personal. Maybe I'll get some sweat on me or something. That night, after all was said and done, it's the first time I've seen my mom cry in years. She accepted Jesus that night. Well, of course, whenever you get hooked, you got to go to your spouse and go, you got to check these guys out. My dad at the time was the number two cocaine dealer in Oklahoma. They made a movie about him with Johnny Depp named Blow. My dad was a part of that movie. My dad did 5 years in McAllister Penitentiary. He got out. He gave names. And we had to run for a long time. We had rental houses no more than 90 days. Why, Dad? Why? Don't worry about it. Bricks coming through our windows with notes attached to them. My dad was like, I gotta get out of here. There's nothing left. Then all of a sudden, one day, I was out playing with my cousins. And I started getting a little itch on my skin. Well, we didn't know, but the city, miles down the road, was clearing off poison ivy and oak brush. It all got in the air. And I ingested that. Got into my blood system. Covered me within 24 hours from head to toe. They put me on steroids. Here we go. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Go down weeks, weeks, weeks. Take the last one. It's almost cleared up completely. All right, last thing. It's gone. I woke up the next day. I had to be hospitalized because it came back 3 times worse. My ears closed, eyes closed, couldn't breathe. Had to put a tube down me. My dad at the time was not into God, not into Jesus. My mom preaching at him every day. Okay, whatever, whatever, just get off my back. We're in the hospital. They're saying, your son's going to die. There's nothing we can do. We've pumped as many steroids as we can into him. His body's not reacting. It's in his blood. It's just a matter of time. I couldn't hear anything, but for some reason, my dad at my bedside that night knelt down, and I heard him cry out, Jesus, if you're real, please, prove to me who you are. Show me that you can heal my son. Save him. That's the only thing I could hear. Couldn't move. He said, if you will do this, I will know you're real. Well, who knows, whenever you cry out to Jesus, he's like, I'm not going to turn that one down. No, not with that guy's past. I'm going to show him what's up. I woke up the next morning. My dad was asleep in the chair. The tube had fallen out of my throat. And if anybody knows about putting tubes in, you can't get them out unless you get them deflated. Tube had fallen out, head to toe, completely clear. I sat up and said, morning, Daddy. He sat up, hit the floor, and cried his eyes out and said, thank you, God. And I am here today on this stage from fourth grade. I said, I will be one of those gentlemen up there. And my friends were like, whatever. There's no way. You're never going to do it. Never, never, never. Fuel for the fire on that one. I met this man, and I said, I'm you in fourth grade. He goes, oh, man, I feel so old. Oh. I said, it has been a dream of mine, and now I am living my dream because God has entered in my life and saved my family.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. What a testimony. That's beautiful.
150 pounds. He has done a 225-pound dumbbell. I saw him do it on YouTube. If anybody doubts he can do these things, check him out on YouTube. And I saw you deadlift 800 pounds just doing his workout with no equipment on. He bench pressed 1,000 pounds for 2 reps. Now, 150-pound dumbbell with one hand over his head, not snatching it, but pressing it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get behind Aaron Brown. Come on, everybody. Let's get behind him. Here we go. One, happen. Happen. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. No way. Nine. I don't believe it. No way. Don't make me do that. 10 times, ladies and gentlemen, and Brown, 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 Brown. Woo!
Wow, that was amazing, man. I bet you never thought in the fourth grade you'd press that 10 times up with one hand over your head. I wouldn't have believed that unless I'd have seen it. How about you? You wouldn't believe. How about you down there? Now, you played pro football with the strongest men in the world. Ever thought you'd see something like that? No, I didn't either. He's from Oklahoma too. But hey, everybody, we're having fun. But you know what? Hey, we're coming toward the last part, and you know what's coming up next? Is you're going to smash. He has to run across the stage and get enough speed. He jumps to the air, and he crushes that can over the pastor's head. I got one note from a pastor that says, I'm too nervous, I just can't do it. But hey, okay, now before I call him up, I want everybody to look me in the eye. I'm going to ask, please, nobody move. This is very important. These guys have been on the team now 6 years. And you know something? Since they've been on the team, we average 400 schools a year in over 50 cities every year. And listen, you want to know something? In every school we go to, we average now 5 students saying, thanks, I'm not going to take my life now. Just the other day, a football player pulled a gun out of his pocket, gave it to one of the guys, and said, I was going to kill myself in class, but now I'm not. I want to tell you, you know what's scary? We averaged 20 students a day saying, psst, I'm not going to cut myself anymore. How many of you realize, you know something? We're living in a different day. I'm telling you, did you see on the news the other day? That girl was raped last year for 2 hours on the field at her high school. 17 teenagers watched. Not one tried to help her, and not one told. How many know the devil is trying to steal the conscience of America's kids? Come on. You know what CNN, News said? CNN News said the other day, the average age for kids in America to become sexually active is now between 12 and 13. How many think we can't just sit in our churches and try to hang on till we get to heaven? How many know God's put you here to make a difference? Everybody say, God's put me here to make a difference. And ladies and gentlemen, look me in the eye. Listen to this. I got a letter the other day, can I tell them? From a girl named Melissa. Melissa said, you came to my school last year. The morning you came to my school, I had cut myself from my shoulders to my wrists and had wrapped it up so no one could see. She said, the reason I cut myself was because my dad called me an idiot every day. But she said, that was the day you came to my school. She said, me and my girlfriends liked you doing those strongman stuff. But she said, when you spoke about how I could overcome, this world needed me. I'm bigger than any name someone's called me. You know what she said? She said, me and my girlfriend said, we're coming back to see them tonight at the church. And she said, that night at the church, I walked forward and accepted Jesus.
And she said, I haven't cut myself since. But you know what she said then in the letter? The next night at the church, my dad went forward and accepted Jesus. And you know what she said? She said, I'm on the volleyball team now. And she said, my dad never misses a game. She said, this, where he used to put me down, now he only cheers me on. And she goes, my brother's a part of the youth group. You know what she said at the end? She said, if you ever get tired of going to the schools, you know what she said? Just remember, the next school you go to will have someone just like me. How many of you know the next school we go to will have someone just like Aaron? And how many of you think under the anointing? I said under the anointing. It's not just positive talking or pump-up talk or motivational talk. Under the anointing, godly men are on the devil's territory, speaking life under the anointing. And you know what happens? An Aaron happens. A Melissa happens. It can change a whole city. And how many of you think it's awesome that we get to go every day where preachers can't go? We're going this fall in the public schools from California to Massachusetts. And you know something? Every school we go into. But you know where we go more than anywhere? Oklahoma now. You know why? There's nowhere in America where principals will work so hard, teachers and administrators, to pull for their kids to come back, and they still believe in the difference that God makes. And you know what? So you're sitting, you know what? I believe the next big move of God is going to come out of Oklahoma. I'm not joking you. And you know, look me in the eye. I want you to hear this. How many of you know it's not easy? Can I talk to you heart to heart just for a moment? Good Oklahoma people. Since I live in Oklahoma. You know what? We have 7 members of our team, including me. We have 3 office workers that coordinate the schools. And you know something? We don't charge the church. We pay our own airfare to every school. You know what our airfare was 1 month last year? $17,000 to go to all the schools in 1 month. But how many of you think it's worth it when no preachers ever stepped in those schools? Half those kids don't have parents like you. How many know half of them don't have a church like this? Come on, somebody. And every school we go to costs us $1,000. It costs us $1,000 to do a whole school. But how many of you realize that's going to change that city forever? And you know what, everybody? For 18 years, listen closely, we charged the schools $1,000. But you know what I learned 7 years ago? The ones that need it the most couldn't afford it. And so you know what the Lord spoke to me? This is the greatest mission field in the world. And the Lord put in my heart, don't charge the schools. Let the people in the churches who send the missionary to Africa send you to America's public schools and let the reward go back to the people in the church. And guess what? Guess what? In the last 8 years, the Bible says 1 Christian can put 1,000 demons to flight. 2 could put 10,000. Since we have asked people to help sponsor the schools, you want to hear something powerful? I've received over 50,000 letters from people saying their businesses have exploded. God did a miracle for their family. Because how many of you know the greatest way to get a miracle for your family is to send a miracle out for somebody else's family? And guess what? Tonight, can everybody see this envelope? Everybody here see this envelope? In just a moment, everybody in here, not yet, but in just a moment, is going to be handed this envelope. And I'm going to ask every one of you precious Oklahoma people to pull out your checkbook, take out your billfold, and I want to ask you to plant a seed in God's heart. And I want to ask you to go with us to the schools. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Every Sunday we have to believe for at least 5 schools just to survive. And right now, I've been praying all day. I think the devil hates us being here tonight. You know why? For the first time in my life, I had a blowout driving here from Oklahoma City. And I wasn't here this morning. And you know what? I think the devil's afraid of some people in this church that are going to be here tonight. And you know what? I have been to 40 countries, but I've never had so much trouble getting to a church. You know what that says to me? The enemy knows the potential of the people sitting here tonight. And you see this envelope? I'm going to ask every one of you in just a moment to pray over this envelope. I'm going to ask you to ask, and I'm going to believe, how many of you will believe with me for a miracle? We'll see those five schools come in tonight, and we'll be able to keep going this week, and we'll represent this church all across the United States and the people sitting in this room. How many of you think God could do a miracle tonight? How many believe God could do a miracle? And listen to this. Listen to this. The other day, we were at a church, and four school teachers, each one sponsored a school and wrote a check for $1,000. And I was looking at that. I started crying. And I said, Lord, they don't make enough money. They're school teachers. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart? Don't worry about them. That's not my way of getting money from them. That's my way of getting money to them. Because how many of you know you can't outgive God? And how many know no one's ever been hurt by giving to missions? How many know that's real? And tonight, everybody, you know what? We need a miracle of five schools. And I've been praying all day, God, we need a miracle. And you know what you do when you need a miracle? Look me in the eye. I want you to hear this. You know what you do when you need a miracle? Open your Bible, put your finger on one of God's promises, and say, God, you promised me. And guess what? You know what I'm going to pray over this offering tonight? One of God's promises. And you know what promise I'm going to pray? Philippians 4:19. You know what Philippians 4:19 says? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Now, some Christians just walk around saying, God's going to meet all my needs according to heaven. No. You know who that promise was given to? The church at Philippi that took up an offering to send the Apostle Paul on a missionary journey. When the people gave to missions, everybody say missions. You know what God said? You took care of my business. Now I'll take care of your business. And he said, I will transfer whatever you need. And ladies and gentlemen, can everybody see this envelope? I'm going to pray Philippians 4:19. And you know why I know this works? Look me in the eye. Everybody look me in the eye. I want you to hear this one. Should I tell them? Because it worked for us. 12 years ago, we were in debt. How many here have ever been in debt before? You know what happened 12 years to us? We rented 17 Coliseums, and 10 times we had 10,000 people get saved, but we ended the year $400,000 in debt. And we prayed for help. We asked God for help. We wrote letters for help. We called people for help, but nothing worked until one night. Everybody say one night.
One night.
You know what happened on that one night? A missionary came to my church from India, and this missionary spent his life working with the people that lived in the garbage dumps, the cardboard box people. And you know what he said that night? He talked in a real funny accent. He said, tonight, I'm going to pray Philippians 4:19 over this offering. And he said, tell God what you want him to transfer. So you know what I did? I pulled out my checkbook, and I wrote a check for $100, and I went to toss it in the offering. And I was going to tell God, but you know what the Lord checked me? You know what the Lord spoke to me? That didn't move you. You didn't feel $100. And the Lord spoke to me, you'll forget that. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? Give something that moves you. Because what moves you moves me. And God promised me that night. You know what God promised me? If I would give something I'd always remember, he would do something I would never forget. So you know what I did? I pulled my checkbook back out. And I wrote a check for $2,300. Now, that was every penny I had in my checking account. Now, how many believe I felt that? How many believe that moved me? I said, that moved me. And you know what I said? God, transfer a $400,000 miracle from heaven's treasure room to our ministry in this earth. Now, don't tell me God doesn't keep his promise, because 2 weeks later, we received an envelope in the mail. And you know what it said? We're a young couple. And we just received a huge inheritance. We were praying how much to give and who to give it to. And God spoke to us to send you this check for $400,000. It was good, and I've never been the same since. Now, let me ask you, how many of you in this church tonight have something that you want God to transfer from heaven, a breakthrough in your finances, your family, your children, your future, your grandchildren? How many here are believing God for something? Let me see your hands. And then you know what? I'm going to ask every one of you, give something that moves you. I was praying, driving here today, and the Lord put in my heart there'd be three people that would sponsor a school in this crowd tonight. I believe God's going to speak to three of you. And I want to tell you something. You should hear the stories of the people who sponsor a whole school and change a whole city. You know what else? August the 1st, the Lord promised me there'd be someone coming this month who'd sponsor five schools. And the Lord had me pray for them every day that in this next year, God would give them a 100-fold return. And I want to ask you, how many of you believe if you don't make it happen, who will? How many know God's put us here tonight to be a team together? How many think we need to give the devil a whipping across this nation? And how many think we should keep going to the schools? Because the next school we go to, we'll have a little Aaron. We'll have a Melissa. And how many think if we don't go, who will? And how many believe tonight this church could win the battle and we could see those five schools come in? How many believe God could do that tonight? Come on. How many believe? I'm going to ask you, ushers, would you pass out an envelope to everybody here? I want to ask everybody in this church, If you own a checkbook, take it out and hold it in your hand. I want you to pray over it. If you have a billfold, take it out. If you don't have any money tonight to give, ask the person next to you to give you some money. I'm going to ask we need everybody tonight to be a miracle person. We need some heroes in America. I said, we need some heroes. Tonight, I'm believing God for three heroes to write a check for a school. I'm believing God's going to speak to three people. And you know what? You'll never guess who it is. I had a woman come up to me with a little baby. She told me how poor she was. She was basically homeless. And she's had 10 $100 bills. That's all she had to her name. She put it in an envelope and she put it in my hand. She said, I'm giving for my child because my child's dad will never support him. She called me 2 weeks later. And you know what she told me? Someone gave me a house worth $160,000. How many of you think God takes this stuff serious? I said, how many think God takes this stuff serious? Would you hold that envelope in your hand? I'm going to ask you to take out your checkbook, take out your billfold. And you know something? I'm going to pray, and tonight I'm believing we're going to see this miracle happen. Hold that envelope in your hand, and I want you to pray over it. And I'm going to pray Philippians 4:19. And I'm going to call out of heaven. I said, I'm going to call out of heaven what you need. Because guess what? You're about ready to take care of God's business. How many think God will take care of your business? Would you hold an envelope in your hand? Would you pray over it tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray Philippians 4:19 that whatever these people need, you're going to change momentum in their favor, and it's going to come from heaven. And Lord, I pray as they go with us to the schools that I'll never forget this night. I will never forget this night. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to those three people. You pray and put in my heart. They're going to sponsor a school in the name of their family or their children or their business or whatever they need. But others could do half a school, part of a school. And Lord, maybe $5 would move someone. Lord, I thank you that will move you. I pray for them just the same. And Lord, I thank you tonight. And I pray Philippians 4:19, transfer from heaven whatever these people need. Now everybody say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. What would you have me give? Now just wait a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to everyone here. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to three heroes, and I guarantee it will surprise you who they are, who are going to sponsor a school and go down in history. Others, maybe half a school, part of a school. But whatever moves you, moves God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're speaking to everyone here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every miracle we see in these schools, you're going to bring it back to these families. And we agree together, and we thank you that it's coming from heaven to these people's lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, if you're making a check tonight, just make it to John Jacobs Power Force. A lot of folks don't carry checkbooks, so any card will work. Just fill out the back. I don't carry a checkbook myself. I just use my debit card. So any card will work. So if you choose to give to Jesus that way, if you're giving cash tonight, just put it in the envelope. And everybody fill out your envelope. Kids, I challenge you, give the best bill you have. Parents, plant a seed. Everybody, fill out your envelope. And the ushers are going to collect them in just a minute. So everybody get your envelope ready. One more time. How many are going to believe with me that we're going to see those five schools come in tonight, and I'm never going to forget this church? Come on. How many of you believe God could do that? Come on. All right, finish filling out your envelope. Everybody finish filling out your envelope. And you know what's coming up next? Are you? I'm actually nervous about this. Are you nervous?
No.
You're not nervous.
I hit myself.
Anybody else here nervous for the pastor? I'm nervous for the pastor. Okay. Ushers, can you come forward with the offering envelopes? With the baskets? Everybody get your envelope ready. We'll give you another 60 seconds to write. If you're filling out a credit card form, we will tear those up, and they'll be shredded after we file them. But ushers, can you come over? Just place your envelope. We need an usher here and pass those down the roads. Thank you for giving. Thank you for caring. Thank you for making a difference. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap for this offering. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, give them time. If people are still writing their checks, give them a minute to do that. Now, you know what? It's time. Standing, 5 foot, 10, 200 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Kaysen of this church, give him a big hand. Come on. Now you need to brace your neck. Put both hands around your neck. So.
Well, my mom said I was hard-headed.
You better just brace your neck. Lock your neck.
Okay.
Okay. And then get a good base so you can.
Alrighty, here we go.
Because you're going to feel kind of an impact.
Sure.
And hey, guys, stand behind him and don't let his. If his body goes back, you can't let it go back because it'll absorb the impact. Okay. Yeah, make sure you stand there, okay? Shh, no music. No clapping, please. No clapping, no music. Warm up. You have to bring it fast. You have to bring it fast and hard. Fast and fast. Okay.
Stand there.
Come on. Fast. Up. What? Wait, what? Why did you guys run? Why did you run? Why did you guys run? He's not going to hit you. No, you got to stand behind him. You got to stand. Come on. You got to back him up. No, but stay there this time. Now, don't run away, okay? All right, here we go. This is it. Okay, yeah, do brace your neck. This is it.
Ready? Okay, here we go.
Okay. Shh, everybody. This is it.
Shake it up good, Jerome. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Here, hit him even.
1, 2, 3. Woo! Woo! Hey, not the end. You haven't come forward. Don't blow that part. And don't blow them in here. You should have followed the team out. You want to get your name and address. Have them raise your hand because God will count this for you. I want to close in a prayer over you. That's when you want to come up here. Public profession. Okay? Okay.
All right, everybody. Hang on now. Everybody? Everybody, you ready? Is it Sean? Are you ready to try to snap the handcuffs? These handcuffs are regular police handcuffs. Is there anybody here that's been trained in putting handcuffs on? Is there somebody here that's... We need... Do you know how to do it? We need somebody just to help lock him down. Is there... do you know how to... You've been trained? Excuse me? Okay, well, I need someone who's a prison worker, security guard, policeman. Okay, come on up here. Come on up here. And so what's your name?
Ron, how do you know handcuffs?
Oh, you're... Oh, you work for Pinkerton. You did. And you've been certified in all this stuff?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ron. Hey, would you... That's okay. But you think you still remember how to do it? Would you take him out that door and we'd lock him down 3 clicks on each wrist? Go ahead and go with him. And we're going to call you right... We're going to call him right back in just a minute. Now, hey, everybody. Wait, kids, you're doing good. Hang on. Don't move. We're coming down to the end. And right now, these last few minutes belong to Jesus. And you know what I want to say to everybody here? We'd have come all this way just for one of you. You know why? God would move the world just for one. You know, sometimes we go to churches of 10,000. I've been in Russia, and we have done this in front of 84,000 people a night. But you know what else? Jesus walked all day sometimes for one. And you know what I've, Pastor, am I right? You guys spent money on the hotel, and you promoted this, passed out flyers. Would it be worth it just for one? Let me ask you, Jerome. He has a new little baby at home. Your baby was 2 months early, but you still came. Would it be worth it just for one for God? How about you? You know what? Sometimes he flew to Colorado and Florida the other day to do this. You should see. He got stuck in a middle seat. But let me ask you. They actually had to move, but let me ask you. I've seen him drive for 3 hours, fly for 3 hours. Would it be worth it for just one? I want you to close in that last couple minutes. But I want everybody here to think about that. Are you the one? Maybe you're the one tonight God's looking for. I mean, the Bible says we don't find him. He finds us. And I want you to say a few words in closing, would you?
Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus one big hand clap tonight for bringing us together. Amen. You know, like John said, you know, we've seen, you know, John's ministries have rented out coliseums where we've seen thousands of people in one night give their hearts to the Lord. You know, last week we saw hundreds of people give their lives to the Lord. But, you know, God could have brought us all the way here tonight just for the one. And you know what? Tonight I'm going to share a story from the Bible. It comes from Luke chapter 15. And it talks about how God feels about you, how God would move heaven and earth if it was just for the one. You know, in Luke chapter 15, it says, "Then the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees of the law muttered, saying, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Now, how many of you understand Jesus was a friend of sinners? Come on. How many of you know God didn't come to condemn you, but how many of you know God came to save you? How many of you know God didn't come to take away your pain? How many of you know God came to take away your pain? He didn't come to take away your fun. Amen. And then you know what? Jesus spoke to them in this parable. And when Jesus speaks in parables, guess what? He's actually painting you a picture of what God is like. And he says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, that if one sheep strays off into the open country, how can you not leave the 99 behind and go after the one until he finds it?" And then the Bible declares that when he finds his one sheep that was lost, he throws it over his shoulder and he carries it back home. Then the Bible goes on to say that he calls together all his friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." And then the Bible goes on to say that there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need any repentance. Come on, how many of you know that's good news in the house of the Lord tonight? The Bible declares that God is like a sheep herder with 100 sheep, that if one sheep strays away, guess what? God said, "I'm going to leave the 99 behind, and I'm going to search for the one." Come on. How many of you know us as a whole? Sometimes we like to hang out with the 99 and say, "Bless God, I'm going to heaven." But how many of you know God put us here to go after the one? And the Bible declares that he's going to look for you until he finds you. You know what that means, Pastor? That means that God doesn't play for four quarters. He doesn't fight for 12 rounds. He doesn't play for nine innings. You know what? As a matter of fact, I've never heard of a search party that the God Almighty has ever called off. The Bible declares that God is going to look for you until he finds you. And then it says that when he finds his one sheep that was lost, he throws it over his shoulder and carries it home. Now, you know what? I don't know a lot about sheep, Pastor, but I know one thing. They stink real bad. Whew! And if I found one sheep that was lost in the brush, in the mud, the last thing I'm going to do is put him over my shoulder. But that's what I'm like. That's not what God is like. In that verse, he demonstrates how much more his love
could ever be to mine. God said, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what you are. God said, hold up. I'll take you. I'll lift you up. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, hey, go clean yourself up. Then I'll put you over my shoulder. God said, I'll take you as you are, and I'll carry you back home. And then it says that he called together all his friends and neighbors and said, rejoice with me. I have found my one sheep which was lost. And then the Bible goes on to say, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 religious people who don't think they need any repentance. Come on. How many of you know that's good news tonight? The Bible declares that God said, he's like a sheep herder with 100 sheep. That if one sheep strays away, God said he's going to leave the 99 behind to search for the one. Are you the one tonight? Maybe you're the one tonight. God could have designed this whole meeting tonight just for you. Maybe you thought you were coming to see John Jacobs and the team. Maybe you thought you were coming to see the Royal Strongman. Well, I want to tell you, that's not the plan. God had a different plan for you. And the Bible declares that he's looking for you tonight. And he's going to look for you until he finds you. Are you going to be the one tonight? Maybe you're going to be the one tonight. You know, there was a night where I was the one. I remember as I thought it was all about Jerome King. I thought I could live my life the way I wanted to live. I thought I could take care of all my problems either with my talent or my money. But there came a point in my life where Jerome King wasn't fast enough. There came a point in my life where Jerome King wasn't strong enough. There came a point in my life where I was the one that night. And as I sat in the back pews, and I remember the message began to come clear to me. You see, the Bible declares that God reveals himself to us. And the Bible declares that our lives are hid with Christ. That if you lose your life, you'll find your life. But if you try to hang on to it, guess what? You're going to lose it. And that night I gave my life to Christ. And I humbled myself. And the Bible declares that if you don't humble yourself, therefore under the mighty hands of God, he will exalt you. Or he will lift you up. And that night at that altar, guess what happened? God saved me. That's right. He set me free. He wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life, and I know no matter what happens from this moment forth, God Almighty has my back. I'm the one. Are you going to be the one tonight? Maybe you're going to be the one tonight. God is looking for you tonight. The Bible declares that whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. The Bible declares that whoever comes to God, he'll never turn him away. Are you going to be the one tonight? It was way too long to be wrong. Let's get behind Sean King as he attempts to break the chains. Everybody say, break the chains, Sean. Come on out here, Sean. Go ahead and turn that music on. And right after this, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bow our heads and close in prayer. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Sean King is going to have to pull tonight until his shoulders turn purple. But I want you to understand something. Maybe you come in here with some baggage. Maybe you come in here with some problems. But never give in, never give up, because all of heaven is pulling for you tonight. Let's get behind Sean King as he attempts to break the chain. Somebody say, break the chain, Sean. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's help him out tonight. Come on, Sean King needs your help. Let's get behind him. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, somebody help Sean King out tonight. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, somebody help him. Come on. Don't you give up on Sean King. He'll never give up on you. Come on, church. Come on, Hope Chapel. I can't hear you up in here.
Someone hears me crying in the night. Carries me away.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody help him. Come on. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Sean King. For Sean King. Woo! Praise the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know what? I want to ask you one question tonight. Is God with you? Oh, I know you believe in God. Every good Oklahoman believes in God, but has there ever been a point in your life where you asked God to come and live inside your heart? With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is not for your friends. This is not for the church. This is between you and the Lord tonight. Do you know him? Is God with you? If that little heart stopped beating, you know that little muscle in your chest? If that little heart stopped, do you know where you'll be 100 years from now? How about 1,000,000 years from now?
Well, the Bible declares that you can be sure. The Bible declares that whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. How many of you understand tonight we can't earn it? None of us deserve it. But the Bible declares that we're saved by grace. You know what? Did you see on the news the other night? There was a man, he was dead for 17 minutes. He was dead. And you know what he said? That while he was dead, he saw a bright light and he saw figures coming for him and he thought they were angels and family members. But you know what? As they got closer, their faces started melting and they turned into creatures, and he realized at that moment that he had died and the wrong ones were coming for him. And you know what he said when he looked up, when he woke up and he looked right into the camera? You know what he said? He said, when the lights go out, you better make sure the right ones are coming for you. Wouldn't it be good to be sure tonight? Wouldn't it be good to be sure God's with you? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you. If you want to be sure tonight. If you want to settle this score once and for all and know for yourself that if you died out of this body into the presence of the Lord tonight. If that's you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. Not for me. Not for the church. But as a message to God. As a message to God, saying, I want this prayer to count for me tonight. I want to be sure. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you the one tonight? Maybe we came all this way tonight just for you. Well, if that's you tonight, if you want to settle this score once and for all and know for yourself, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up real quickly. One, two, three. Slip them up high, quickly. His hands go up all across the building. Is there anybody else? I see your hands, sir. I see your hands, ma'am. But even better, God sees your hands. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord. I see your hands. You may put them down. Now, for those who raise your hands, you know what? I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. But you know what? If you didn't raise your hand tonight, right now, you should be in an attitude of prayer to support your new brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. If you can hear my voice in this building, I want you to repeat these words. Everybody say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I thank you for being my Savior. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Here I am, Lord. Not part of me, but all of me. Here I am, Lord. My mess ups as well as my strengths. I receive salvation. I receive eternal life. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on the cross for me. Here I am, Lord. Use me for something great. And from this moment forth, I'm going to step up. I'm going to speak up. And I'm going to announce, my God is able. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Change me. Rearrange me. Make me into the Christian you want me to be. And from this day forward, I'm a child of God. I will serve him. My kids will serve God. And I'll see you in heaven. And everybody who loves him says, amen. Church, let's give yourselves a big round of applause tonight. Come on. Hey, there were a lot of hands that went up. Heaven's a lot bigger and hell's a lot smaller. Amen. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, right now, I'm going to ask that you do one more thing. For those who raise your hand, I'm going to ask that in a moment, you get up out of your seats, walk down one of these aisles. And you know the reason we want you to do that? Because we want to pray a blessing over you. We want to commission angels to go home with you and say, hey, how many of you understand you're important to us? How many of you know we don't just want to say see you later, bye-bye, but how many of you know you're our new brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You know what, Pastor? As I look around the crowd, I see a lot of people saying, there's no other way in the world I'm going to stand down there. But you know what? That little voice that you hear in your head, that is not of God. And this could be the first time in your life you kicked that devil to the curb and you made a stand for somebody who gave their life for you. And you know what the Bible declares? That God said he'd do it all over again if it was just for the one. You know, I started thinking about my life and some of the things that I've done in my life. And I say, how could anybody ever give their life for Jerome King? But you know what? God said he'd do it all over again if it was just for me. That's how much he loves you tonight. So tonight, I don't care if you raise your hand this high. I don't care if you raise your hand this high. You know what? Tonight, I don't care if you're 8. I don't care if you're 88. But if you said that prayer, if you made some kind of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of Oklahoma shouldn't be able to hold you in your seat. You should want to get up and make a stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I don't care if you raise your hand this high. I don't care if you raise your hand this high. But would you do it? Not for me. Not for the church. But would you do it tonight to bring him glory and honor and say, I'm not ashamed to make a stand for you? In the back and in the front. This could be your last chance that you will ever have to make a stand for God. I don't care if you raise your hand this high. I don't care if you raise your hand this high. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're 55. But if you said that prayer, if you made some kind of commitment, on the count of 3, I want you to get up out of your seat, and we're going to cheer you on. 1, 2, 3. Would you get up and come? Come on, church. Let's cheer them on. Come on. Come forward. Would you come down to the altar tonight? If you raise your hand, come on, church, they're still coming. Come on, come on, come on, come on. 5 seconds till eternity. Is there anybody else that will give God a chance? Is there anybody else that will let God make a difference in your life? God doesn't want to take away your fun. God wants to take away your pain. Will you give him a chance tonight? Are you tired of the weight of the world on your shoulders? God wants to take the weight of the world off your shoulders. 3 seconds. Is there anybody else? Come on, church. They're still coming. You should be clapping so hard your hands are hurting. Somebody say, thank God. 2 seconds. Is there anybody else? Are you the one tonight? Come on, church. They're still coming. Lives are being changed tonight. God is making a difference. 1 second. Is there anybody else? It was way too long to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong tonight. Is there anybody else? Is there one more? Praise the Lord. Church, let's give them a big round of applause. Somebody say, thank God for tonight. Woo! Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I want everybody that's standing up here tonight, I want everybody to take your right finger, index finger, and place it on your heart. And I want you to repeat these words after me. Everybody say, tonight's not the end. It's only the beginning. God has a great plan for my life. What God has for me, he doesn't have for anybody else. And you know what? I truly believe that God has a miracle waiting for each and every one of you guys. Pastor, I'm going to ask that you come up here. And you know what? This is the Pastor Don Kaysen of this church. And I'm going to ask that he pray a blessing over each and every one of you guys. And then in a moment, we're going to ask that you walk out these back doors. And we're going to lead you to a small room. And we just want to get your name and information. And we want to be able to pray for you. Because, hey, how many of you know this is a great day? This is your new spiritual birthday. Some of you have made rededication to your life. Hey, come here, buddy. What's your name, man, with the mohawk? What's your name, man? Noah. Man, that's an awesome name, Noah. But you know what? There's going to be a chance, Noah, that I walk out those doors and I forget your name, man. But you know what, Noah? God Almighty will never forget your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. That's how much he loves you, buddy. And Pastor Dom, I'm going to ask that you pray a blessing over him. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a home church, guess what? Welcome to your new home church, Hope Chapel Four Square Church. Amen? Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that I want you guys to know is that God loves you more than you'll ever know. And today is just the beginning of walking. Some of you are recommitting. Some of you, it's your first time to ever accept Christ. And today is the very beginning of a walk that, like, you don't even know the party that's going on in heaven right now. And what I want to do is encourage you just to follow after Him with your whole heart. I got saved when I was a little kid at 8 years old. Raised in an alcoholic home. And years later, it was like, just in a service that God really just touched my heart, that I gave my life to Christ in a way that you're doing right now. And I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest thing you can ever do. Father, we just ask you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus. These are kids, these are girls, these are men, these are boys, these are women who have come to you and said, God, I ask you to come into my life. And what you have done is more than what they even realize or what we even realize. That, Lord, you have taken every sin that they have ever sinned and you have taken it away. You have cleaned their heart. I ask you to bless them, to keep them. Tonight, as they lay their head upon their pillow, Lord, that you give them dreams of future. Just like you did me, just like you did Jerome and Sean and all of them. You gave us dreams of hope and of future. Father, I ask you to bless them, to keep them, and that your heart is upon them and moves them in every way. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.